Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Not homes, not olive trees, not religious sites, and not human lives. It appears nothing is sacred for the Israeli regime. As Tel Aviv's expansionist policies continue, so does its destruction. And now it seems that the main target is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the third holiest mosque in Islam and is located in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Back in 2000, when former Israeli defense and Prime Minister Ariel Sharon entered Al-Aqsa, the second intifada began. Is Israel itching to up the ante against the Palestinians, or is it that the regime simply has no respect for the Palestinians and think that it can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, and the world will remain silent? I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, co-founder, Free Palestine Movement, Mr. Paul LaRudy out of Berkeley, California, and author and political commentator, Ms. Carol Gould out of London, UK. Thank you both for being with us right here on this debate. We're going to start this off in London with Ms. Gould. Why do you think that we're witnessing an increase in aggression by the Israelis against Palestinians in general, and specifically towards those in the Al-Aqsa Mosque?
At the moment, the Jewish world is in the middle of the high holy days, what are called the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the Israeli regime has a much higher level of security than usual because they're fearful of terrorist attacks during this time. I mean, we remember the unprovoked Yom Kippur War of 1973, which was so destructive to all sides. Also, the Israeli people gave Benjamin Netanyahu and his government another mandate in the most recent election. So, like all leaders who are re-elected in a democracy, he feels that he has a mandate to do as he wishes. And this is a conservative government. It is a very security-aware government. And we're never going to see a peaceful situation when there is so much tension on both sides. And another aspect to this is that Israel is very much aware of the instability in Syria. The irony is that when I was living in Israel, Assad Sr. was the leader. And actually, Israel had a reasonably good, not so much a relationship, but negotiations were going on between Prime Minister Rabin and the Assad regime, and amongst the other leaders of the other countries, King Hussein, or the late King Hussein of Jordan, and Yasser Arafat. And that is the irony, that now Israel doesn't have anyone to negotiate with because President Assad is under siege from the Daesh and from the rebels. So Israel has terrible instability on its borders,
okay,
and is fearful that the terrorists are coming into Jerusalem and into Israel.
Okay, let me turn to Mr. LaRudy. Mr. LaRudy, your take on what Ms. Gould has said. So it appears that because Israel fears, as she said, terrorists from coming in, it can actually initiate terrorist activities inside of Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and the West Bank. Your take, sir, what is going on? Why do we see the situation exacerbating?
All of Israel's actions have to be placed in the context that for the last 100 years and more, the objective of Zionism has been the creation of one Jewish state when there are 22 Arab states. The difference is that this Jewish state has to be created in a place where there are only a small number of Jews. And so you have to bring in millions of Jews, and you have to expel millions of Arabs in order to create this state. So this is about the expulsion and the elimination of the Palestinians. How do you do this? Sometimes you do it directly, as they did in 1948 and again in 1967. You expel masses of them when you have the opportunity, and you try to create the opportunity. The rest of the time, you do it little by little. But it is the presence of the Palestinians that they are trying to eliminate, and not only the people, also the buildings, the culture, the tradition, And the most glaring thing that they want to eliminate is the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Why is that?
And so, little by little, because it is non-Jewish and a very big non-Jewish presence in the middle of Jerusalem, which they want to be 100% Jewish, if possible, if possible. And so they, little by little, bring pressure there. They prevent worshipers from coming. They bring visitors, Jewish visitors there, and don't ask them not to pray while they're there. Little by little, they are bringing pressure to bear, and they give a little bit of leeway to the Jews who want to create the third temple on this plot and to destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Okay.
This is their plan. It is all about destruction.
What about that, Ms. Ghul? Is it all about destruction? Is it that they want to destroy Al-Aqsa Mosque? And what gives Israel the right to prevent Palestinian worshippers from entering their own mosque?
Well, first of all, when the word they is used, we're talking about a government that is very much involved with security, that believes in bitachon, which is the Hebrew word for security. This is not the Rabin government anymore. This isn't Peres. This isn't Ehud Barak. We have had Netanyahu's government for many years now. When your guests said
security
that
is another word for
millions
cleansing.
Of people were expelled, a million Jewish people had to leave Arab land when Israel was established. Likewise, however, there are 1.2 million Muslims living inside Greater Israel.
Israel wanted
there are
them
also
to leave
Christians,
Arab lands.
And there are Baha'i worshippers, Christians. And I don't see some great campaign to destroy anything non-Jewish. When I go to Israel, when anyone goes to Israel,
there are beautiful places where there are madrasas.
Are you going to please let me speak? Because my distinguished host, whom I have great respect for, I have known her for years, expects me to answer the question. Thank you. All I am saying is, in response to
you're
what you said,
you're not answering the question.
That there are,
okay, stay with me, Mr. Lerudi. Go ahead, Ms. Ghul. Go ahead.
That when you go to Israel, there is pluralism, there are many madrasas, there are mosques. I mean, you're talking as if the Israelis want to go out and destroy mosques. There is a lot of tension in Jerusalem. That I agree with. But there has been tension for many, many years, since the breakdown of Oslo, since the assassination of Rabin.
Ms. Ghul, stay
and
with me. What about the churches, Mr. Lerudi, besides the mosque? Let's talk about the churches. That many churches have been attacked by the Israeli regime, and churches have been burnt down. What about the churches? Why do we see, it seems like it is systematic attacking non-Jews by Israel? Because we're not just talking about Palestinian Muslims, we're talking about Christians also that are systematically being under attack. Ms. Ghul?
Think that they would perceive some great campaign by Israel to destroy the Christian faith in Israel. I just do not see this happening. Perhaps I'm reading the wrong information, I'm getting information from the wrong sources, or I live in a parallel universe.
Okay, but Mr. Lerudi, your take,
Israel,
sir. Mr. Lerudi, stay with me, Ms.
Ghul. Christian shrines are beautifully protected by the Israelis.
Mr.
When
Lerudi.
Christian pilgrims go to Israel, they are beautifully preserved.
Mr. Lerudi, stay with me, Ms. Ghul. Stay with me, Ms. Ghul. Mr.
Lerudi,
your take on this. We're looking at now the other aspect. We talked about the Al-Aqsa Mosque that is definitely under attack, which Ms. Ghul disagreed about, and you mentioned the churches. I'd like you to expand on your point that you were making, sir.
Okay. Let me tell you about this beautiful, wonderful, idyllic, pluralistic society. Less than 1% of Jews and less than 2% of the Arab citizens, the Palestinian citizens of Israel, live in mixed communities. The Palestinians live, all of the Palestinian citizens of Israel live in less than 3% of the land. 93% of the land is controlled by the Jewish National Fund and the Israel Lands Authority. 93%, and not a single Palestinian Arab is permitted to live in any of that. Of the remaining 7%, even a majority of that is held in non-Palestinian hands, and there's no prospect of Palestinians being able to purchase or procure any of that land. They live in a tiny community where a lot of the time they're not even a segregated community, segregated into ghettos. In fact, the one in Lydd is called the ghetto. They call it that without knowing the origin of the word. So this is their wonderful pluralistic society where people can't get building permits, where people are crushed together into tiny spaces, and where land that is not built upon is being confiscated. They don't confiscate it from Jewish citizens of Israel. They confiscate it from Palestinian Arab citizens of Israel. They're trying to get rid of them.
Ms. Gul, do you think that the leaders of the Israeli regime see themselves as superior to the Palestinians, and thus anything that Israeli troops or settlers do to Palestinians is justified because these non-Jews are lower species?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. I didn't hear your last sentence.
Basically, I ask, do you think that the leaders of Israel, do you think that they see themselves as superior to Palestinians? Thus, anything goes, because basically, these are non-Jews and are lower species.
No, this is absolutely not true. I'm sorry. And I don't understand how your guest gets this idea that there is this tiny little group of oppressed people. Every hospital in Israel, if you go into any hospital, Jews and Muslims are working together. Arab and Israeli doctors are working together. Universities. This idea that there is all this hatred amongst the majority, huge majority of Israelis, and they want to dry, ethnically cleanse people of another religion,
Ms. Gul,
not just
Muslims. Admit that it's very much like an apartheid entity, if not worse than apartheid South Africa. Separate roads, separate entrances, being controlled, the Palestinians, checkpoints all over. Do you see that as being an equal society?
No. No. The apartheid regime in South Africa.
That a majority
I lived through that era
of Jewish citizens in Israel have said that they do not want to live in the same building with Arab citizens of Israel. A majority have said that they don't want to live with side by side with Arab citizens of Israel.
I don't know where you get these statistics, but my statistics that I gather, and I did my homework for this program, do not indicate that. There's a whole swathe of Israel that voted, first of all, that did not vote for Netanyahu, who debate on very heated television programs in the incredibly free press of Israel, on television every night and on radio during the day, as we have here in Britain, these issues. It is a totally free press, and these issues are discussed, and I don't see this majority of Israel wanting to ethnically cleanse, not wanting to live in the same buildings. The problem is that you are watching and listening to material from another universe.
Mr. Lahoudi,
I am perceiving from Israelis a great desire for peace. They are surrounded by conflict. Look at what is going on in Syria.
Okay, let Mr. Lahoudi get back in here,
Jordan.
Ms. Gould.
There
Ms.
are problems in Lebanon.
Let's get Mr. Lahoudi's perspective. Go ahead, Mr. Lahoudi.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gould. I think you made a mistake. Maybe you thought you were living in Israel, but in fact you were living in Switzerland. In Israel, there is discrimination in most of the jobs and in the housing. And when was the last time a Palestinian applied for a Palestinian, let's say from the West Bank or from one of the refugee camps in Lebanon or Syria or Jordan? When was the last time they applied for citizenship in Israel and got citizenship? You know why they didn't get citizenship? Because they're not Jews.
Ms. Gould, looking at this, stay with me. Ms. Gould, looking at the situation, we're looking specifically right now at the Al-Aqsa Mosque situation. With when we see the Israeli troops going in there with worshippers in there, using tear gas, using rubber bullets, what gives them the right? Where is the respect for a religious entity there? Why would they do that?
This is a government that's first priority for them is the protection of Israeli citizens and of all Israeli, not just Israeli Jewish citizens, citizens of all religions. And there is a fear that there could be an influx, and perhaps already has, of people from what's called the Daesh, the ISIS, and terrorist groups who are filtering in from Syria, from other countries.
So then that gives
them
the right. Excuse me, Ms. Gould. That gives them the right to go into the
Netanyahu.
Ms. Gould, that gives them the right to go into the mosque, which prior to them going into, they've already been checked very heavily. They're not letting males into the mosque. What gives them the right to decide who can and cannot enter the mosque? What gives them the right to go and attack worshipers?
Well, this is how the Netanyahu government is functioning.
And so that's okay with you? Are you telling me that it's okay what the Netanyahu government is doing? Answer that question. Do you agree with these tactics?
Because half the country voted him in.
Do you agree with those tactics, Ms. Gould?
Slightly higher than half. He got a mandate, and he feels that he has a mandate from the people who voted him in to do as he did long ago.
Do you agree, Ms. Gould? Do you think that Mr. Netanyahu is following international law by encouraging and allowing these tactics?
There are people who, at the moment, who say that he is violating international law, but his first priority is to protect his country. It's a tiny country.
Mr. Larudi.
You can see both sides from the top of your hotel in Tel Aviv.
Mr. Larudi, your take, where's international law in all of this?
It's unknown in Israel. International law has never been a factor in the governing of Israel, as we can see very plainly from the acts that they commit and which are defended by the United Nations, by the United States with its veto in the United Nations. Israel doesn't have to worry about international law. As far as defending its citizens, it's not defending the Muslim citizens of Israel who want to worship at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It's preventing them from coming to the mosque, and it's preventing and it is causing harm to those who are there and those who are able to go there. The fact is that there would be no problem with stone throwing or any kind of the defensive measures that are taken by people at the Al-Aqsa Mosque if they would just stay away, stay outside of it. There shouldn't be these radical settlers visiting the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's a provocation. The police and the armed forces should not be in the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Okay.
They should come if they're invited.
All right, stay with me. Stay with Mr. Larudi.
Mr.
Gould, your perspective on what Mr. Larudi has just said, that they should not bring these radical settlers there, they should not enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that they should not provocate, your take?
Yes, I agree. But there should be no radicals from either side. There should be no agitators from either side. And it is unfortunate that a place of such importance to so many religions should be a constantly location of violence. I mean, as your narrator said at the beginning, the 2000 Intifada, the second Intifada, started when Ariel Sharon visited the Al-Aqsa Mosque. He visited just the periphery, and that started the second Intifada, which went on for a year.
Thus they know that it is a provocation when they actually then go back to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So, Mr. Larudi, your take, what is it going to take this time around? Do you think we're going to see a third Intifada with the situation at hand right now? Or tell me how you see it.
Clearly, the Palestinians need, once again, to take the situation in hand. They are, it's incumbent upon Palestinians, if they want, according to their decision, to liberate themselves. We can help as much as possible. But Palestinians are the only ones who can really liberate themselves. Palestinians have been hoping and that the international community will wake up and actually do something in accordance with international law and enforce its decisions. It's not happening, is it? So really, it's to a large extent in the hands of the Palestinians to do this. As far as Israel being concerned about Daesh and terrorists entering the country, if they don't want terrorists entering the country, they shouldn't invite them, because they're bringing them across the border in from Syria to hospitals and so forth.
I'm so sorry, but
forth.
I'm out of time, but I appreciate both of you being with us. Co-founder of Free Palestine Movement, Mr. Paul Arudi out of Berkeley, author and political commentator, Ms. Kara Ghul out of London. And we appreciate you viewers being with us for another debate right here in Tehran. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out and thanking you for being aboard.